Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse 51. Luke 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, that is, Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though it would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I would like, first of all, to get the setting of this portion. Jesus is making his last trip to Jerusalem. And it's time for him to be received up. This is what was in his mind. Received up on the cross, first of all, and into the glory. And he's going to have a portion now in heaven. And he is saying to his disciples, you may have a portion there with me too. But redemption will first have to be accomplished at Jerusalem. And so you see in these verses, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he's just about midway between Nazareth and Jerusalem. Nazareth, about 45, maybe 50 miles away, and he's just about midway, and he must go through Samaria. And as he is passing through Samaria, there they wouldn't receive him. And you say, why wouldn't they receive him? He even sent some of his disciples ahead to make place for him. But no, they wouldn't receive him. And it tells you here why they wouldn't receive him. It's because he had his face set as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And you know the Samaritans and the Jews, as the Savior said in John chapter 3, had no dealings with each other. And they turned him down. Most remarkable thing, it's right at the very place where Elijah called down fire out of heaven to consume a captain and his 50 who tried to take him captive. Naturally, Peter and John, thinking of this and being in the very place in Samaria where this took place, they say, shall we not call fire down out of heaven and consume them? They were somewhat in the spirit of Elijah, that prophet of judgment. But Jesus said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so they went to another village. And on the way, someone said to him, Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And I can hear the Savior say, will you follow me whithersoever I go? I'm going to Jerusalem, and then outside the city walls. I'm going to be cast out. I'm going to hang on a Roman gibbet for Gallus. Will you follow me whithersoever I go? And then he said to this man, he said, the foxes have holes. Most remarkable thing about Palestine. Lots of foxes, lots of dens, lots of rocks, lots of holes, even unto this day. And so he's saying, now you better go to a fox if you're hunting a hole. Or if you are trying to feather your nest, you better go to the birds of the air. They have a nest and a roosting place. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We might think that these things that we mentioned are rather severe, and what our brother Jim read. But it is a test of discipleship. And even the love that you may have naturally for mother, father, sister, or brother is looked upon as hate in comparison, as comparison with the love of God, and the actual test of discipleship of following the Lord Jesus. His hour had come when he was going to be offered up, and if any would follow him, they must leave all. But my thoughts this morning are clustered more around the thought of the birds of the air. And I want to speak for a little while on the birds. I trust that you will not feel like a brother did the first time I spoke on this subject. He met me at the door. And he said, I can see, Charlie, that you're for the birds. But isn't it true we hear quite a bit of teaching about animals, such as the fox and the ox and the sheep, the goats, and many other kind of animals, but seemingly not too much about the birds. I think every one of us here has heard the sermon on the talking donkey. You remember Balaam had the talking donkey. And who of us hasn't heard some teaching on Daniel in the lion's den, when Daniel closed the mouth of the lion so they could not harm the Hebrew children? But in connection with the birds, I understand that there are 9,000 different species of birds in the world. And when I looked this up in the World Cyclopedia, I thought, I wonder why so many different kinds of birds. Maybe the Lord is teaching us about variety. You know, we still say in variety, it's the spice of life. But even in the Bible, if you look it up in your concordance, there are 28 different species of birds. And I think each one of them will teach you and I a spiritual lesson. The Lord Jesus, I marvel at the way he taught. He took the things of his creation, the things that he created with his own hands, and he taught special lessons from them. He could look at a wheat field or a cornfield. He could look at the fishes of the sea. And he could look at plant life, trees, and birds, and he could teach us precious lessons. And I sometimes think that you and I, with our intellectual minds, we are going beyond the simplicity of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, let us this morning, for a half hour, just look at a few of the 28 species of birds. If you were thinking I was going to speak on all 28, relax and release, because it'll just be a few of them. I want to first of all speak on one that is so commonly known to us, mentioned twice in our Bible, the Lord Jesus mentioning this bird twice, and that is the chicken. I trust that one of us in the front row don't get too disturbed at the moment. You know, I have corn on the cob hanging up, and so does my neighbor. And we have chickens that come. And the squirrels sit on the cob that is stuck up against the tree, and they eat the outside, that beautiful golden grain, the outside of the corn. But they drop the kernel. Now, I want to just put that back. I wanted to see whether you understood. I just want to put that the other way. The squirrel eats that nice white kernel, and he drops the golden part down as cutting. And these chickens that come, they come right under the trees, and they pick up those golden cuttings. Lo and behold, they're getting that smart that if the squirrels aren't up there, they'll get after the squirrels in order to get them up there, in order to get their food. And my neighbor got so excited about it that she went upstairs to where her husband was working, and he was working with a light bulb that was quite hot. And she put a great big burn on her arm just trying to tell him how the squirrels feed the chickens. Well, I know you're trying to find out who that is, because there are only a few ladies on the front seat. But the chicken, I can't help but think of the Lord Jesus. The last words that he spoke over Jerusalem, it's the lamentation of the king. And I have no doubt, in strong cries and tears, he begins to say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a chick, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. And then he laments and he speaks of their house that would be left unto them desolate. Twice over, we have this mentioned in Luke and in Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus using the chicken to teach us a lesson. I wonder if he's taught you that lesson this morning. There's one thing about a chicken, it knows when the time of storm is brewing. Many of you haven't had the privilege of watching a hen and her chicks. Man has put his hand into this, and he's taken this beautiful lesson away from us to a large degree. Most chicken eggs are not even fertilized today, just for human consumption to put on the market. But oh, when you would see that hen with her little chicks, and it would begin to thunder and lighten, how she would fuss, and how she would complain, and she would keep her cooking going until every last one of those little chicks were safe under her wings. Under her wings, I am safely abiding. I wonder if you've ever heard the chick calling you. The little hen calling you. And have you come to find shelter under the wings? The Lord Jesus speaks of himself as that chicken And he's saying, come unto me, as we were singing this morning. I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your life. You can take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Oh, the chickens. And another thing about the chicken, and we're all acquainted with it, I'm sure, is that even with unfertilized eggs, if she has started to pluck, it's rather difficult to get an egg out from under her. She's longing and wanting offspring. Today, this is a lesson. Many today, young Christian married couples don't want children. Don't have the wisdom of the hen or the chicken. And they want to get out in the business world and start a career. But mark you, this is one thing that God will be with you in. And you can decide on it in the affirmative. And it's this. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. One of the first things that God said when he brought man and woman together. And when I say these things, I'm very conscious of the fact that many of us possibly are not able to bring forth offspring. But if there's one thing that you desire to enter into and have the desire, and God wants you to have it, and that is that you may be fruitful and multiply, and God will be with you in it. Little children are a heritage of the Lord. And oh, I love to look upon a mother with her offspring, don't you? My, how Jewish mothers, Jewish wives, long to have offspring. And yet you and I, possibly, have set ourselves against a direct statement from God. And we say, no children. Well, that's a good lesson for the chick, isn't it? And the chicken. But now let us look at another. The crane. I don't know if we're too well acquainted with the crane or not. But the crane, you have a mentioned in Isaiah and Jeremiah, along with the stork. Now, I might say this before I begin. The stork has no more relation to the maternity ward than Santa Claus has with the birth of Jesus. No more. The only way I could find that we might have lined the stork up with the maternity ward is, I understand that many of the chimneys over in Europe, especially years ago, that weren't being used, a stork would build his nest up on the chimney. And I don't know whether we thought, or people thought, that they would drop a young one down through the chimney or not. I don't know. But nevertheless, there is no connection. But with the stork and also the crane, we read very definitely, and it's actually the Lord speaking in the book of Isaiah to a king named Hezekiah. He got sick. Did you and I ever get sick? He got sick, Hezekiah, and here he thought he was going to die. And oh, when he thought of how he even told the Lord that he served him with a pure heart, and told the Lord of the many things he had done. But the Lord spoke to him there in the book of Isaiah as chatter. I don't know whether you and I do too much chatting or not. But nevertheless, the Lord heard him in his chatting, and he gave him 15 more years to live. But in connection with the crane and this chattering, many of us who are not saints do a good bit of chattering, don't we? You'll excuse me for giving a little exhortation this morning. But how often when I have been sick, at least once I remember very definitely, I said, "Oh Lord, why did this come upon me? What did I do that this sickness has come upon me?" And more or less for a period of 6 weeks, I came to the Lord chattering, trying to tell the Lord that I was too good to get sick. And at last the Lord had to show me that I wasn't worthy of the least of all His mercy. And you know, when I came to that place, I began to get well. And I would commend to you, if you ever have an experience like this, don't try to justify yourself before the Lord. Let Him in His mercy and His grace deal with you. Oh, how many blessed lessons, precious lessons, we learn through physical, body, weakness, and sickness. I have often said, with the nervous breakdown that I had at the age of 37, I wouldn't take the whole world for it. The experience of going through it, and what the Lord taught me, even in the midst of my chattering. But I wouldn't take 10 worlds to get it back again. I would not, and I don't wish any kind of sickness on anyone. But I do believe this, that the Lord causes everything to work out for our good. Only let us lean upon Him. And He will give you possibly additional years, and if not, He'll take you to a home prepared that's far, far better than any you could get here. You couldn't feather your nest down here or build a home like that home that is over there. And I'm homesick for it, and I trust we all are. I want to go home. Oh, you say you mortal creature. No! I'm filled with the joy of gladness. And I'll be much gladder still when I get to see His face and get into the house that He's prepared for me and for you. Then I want to speak to you a little bit about the cuckoo. I know a good many of us have cuckoo thoughts. You know the meaning of the word cuckoo? You look it up. Do you? I remember once going to an institution in Harrisburg, and one fellow came up to me and he said, "Jim's crazy." And Jim said to me, "The girl was crazy." And I didn't know how to handle the situation. Well, the word cuckoo means to be crazy. Now, I don't want to for a moment say to we Christians that we're crazy, but do you know what the cuckoo does? She lays her eggs in other birds' nests. She won't labor to hatch them out. And she's a cuckoo. She's crazy. Suppose we were all cuckoos. Suppose all the birds were cuckoos. Why, there wouldn't be a bird left. And while I was preparing this message, I saw with my own eyes around the bird feeder. I saw a chickadee. I saw the little rock wren. I saw those birds with the heavy bill. What are they called? Grosbeaks. And I could mention several others. But for time, I'll let it go. Just one more. I saw one pelleted woodpecker. Ara told me that they are so big. And I didn't believe him, but I saw one the other day. As I sat preparing this little message, he's about 16 to 8 inches high. He walks up a tree like one of these linemen with their spikes on. He's not cuckoo. I want to stick to my cuckoo. But suppose we were like the cuckoos. No more birds, and there would be no more children or offspring. Because there wouldn't be any place to put the eggs. And what would happen? Pretty soon we would have no food. We'd have no shelter. And we would be altogether depleted. And how sad this is when men say, I will not work. We used to have the IWWs, I won't work. And even Christians today seem to take the attitude of not working. And the Bible says if a Christian doesn't work, he ought to eat. So you see, the Bible teaches us with the birds, many precious lessons. So while you might have that cuckoo boxed up in your flock, don't let's be like him. Let him go on cuckoo, cuckoo, and let him possibly tell you you're crazy, but don't you be crazy. Don't let us be like the cuckoo. But we got another bird I want to speak of, and it's the night hawk or the night owl. He's mentioned twice amongst the dietary laws of Israel. Couldn't eat him. Wasn't for food. Many birds are for food. But not the night hawk. Stays out at night, you know. I remember so well of walking down one of the streets in West Palm Beach with my sister. And up there right along the street was the these big stately palm trees with great big coconuts on them. And I said to her, what keeps them coconuts from falling down? Well, I said, if one of them would crash beyond the head, it would be the end of it. Well, some of them were up there 30 feet or more. She said, it's very rare that anybody gets hit on the head with a coconut. They most all let loose from 1 o'clock to 4 in the morning. And if you're out after midnight from 1 to 4 in the morning, people know about it, especially if you get conked on the head with a coconut. You know, among we Christians, we like to stay out late at night, don't we? Oftentimes. I remember dear old brother E.E. Bremen. He's up with the Lord now. What he used to sing, all good children are the Lord's children going to heaven, ought to be to bed by 11:30. I was telling this to someone the other night, and they said, oh no, it's 11 o'clock. All lights out at 11. But you see, I'm gracious. I give you a half hour. What was it that Benjamin Franklin said? And it's still so much alive. Early to bed, early to rise, makes the man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Abraham, who is the father of all Christians, all who believe. Time and again you read that Abraham rose up early in the morning. Don't be a dollar, at 10 o'clock, scholar, and come at noon. Oh, rise up in the morning. It is when creation rises up. And you'll get to see the birds and the squirrels. You'll hear their song. And you'll be able to breathe that good, fresh air. Don't be a night hawk. Well, I got to say something about the ostrich before I close. And the ostrich is mentioned in the book of Job, the 39th chapter, but don't look it up at the moment. You know what the ostrich does? I know what you're thinking. But I'm going to tell you this first of all, that the ostrich drops her eggs to the earth. And expecting the dust to hatch them out. And God says, not knowing that she might trap them herself, or the wild beasts might crush them. And even when those who survive the breaking, when they hatch out, she acts as though she hates her children. Doesn't seem to take them under her wing like the chick whatsoever. The Bible very definitely says God has not given the ostrich wisdom or understanding, that big lumbering bird. And how much like the ostrich are maybe some of us, not caring for our children as we ought to, not receiving them as a heritage from the Lord, not seeking to grow up with them and to understand their problems. Or you say you can say that now because you're past, you're an old grandpa. But I'm just trying to give a little wisdom that the Bible teaches in connection with these things. And oh, what a precious sight it is to see a family growing up together, enjoying the same things together, without this awful expansion or gulf between father and mother and the children. Don't be like the ostrich. I'll tell you one thing about him, and you all know this as well as I do. A big 300-pound bird, now watch him lumber, when he can outrace a horse. And yet, you know what that ostrich does? He buries his kid in the sand, just that the head part, and looks about 300 pounds or 250 pounds stick out. And he thinks nobody sees it. You see, he doesn't have wisdom or understanding. And oftentimes we Christians hide our head when there's a crisis or a real problem at stake and we don't want to face it. And we're like the ostrich without wisdom and without understanding. Oh, don't let us be like the ostrich. I like the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. And with all you're getting, get understanding along with your wisdom. Our God is liberal in giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So, let us love our offspring, and let us not treat them as though they don't belong to us. Well, I must go on to another. We're getting toward the end, but I think we would be wrong for us not to mention the sparrow. I understand in the day, it was written, you could get 5 sparrows for 2 farthings. 1 farthing equal to 0.25. Very cheap. And sometimes with you and I, we think we don't amount to much. I'm sure we've all said that, I don't amount to much. But in the eyes of the Lord, you are very, very valuable. More valuable than many sparrows. And oh, that lovely hymn that we sing, his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. In this day of numbers, when they put you in the commuter as a piece of paper, and that's about all you are, a number. That's in man's sight. But never, never, never in God's sight. He knows your telephone number. He knows your address. He knows your down-sittings and your uprisings. He knows your thoughts afar off. And oh, I'm so glad that his eye is on that little sparrow. and I'm glad that I'm transparent before him. He knows me through and through. And I've even learned to pray, haven't you? Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, remove it from me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But in closing, God speak of the dove. Wasn't it good to see the dove of peace? I trust with the olive leaf in his mouth. This past Saturday, my, how even the world rejoiced in a great measure in the ceasefire. The dove showed itself with the olive leaf in its mouth, that little bird of peace. And the apostle would say to you and I, be harmless. Be harmless amidst a crooked and a perverse nation. The very place in which God has made you a light. Shine forth as light in this world. The dove of peace. And I've often mentioned it because I've taken many one of them apart, cleaned them. Many of the birds in the Bible, you know, are for food. Dove is one of them. And they have no gall. Did you ever get a hold of a chicken liver that the wife didn't remove the gall? Well, if you want to make a face, you just get some of that bitter gall. And the little dove, with such a sweet, sometimes a mournful voice, yet it has no gall. How about you? Do you have some bitterness in you this morning? The apostle says, cut off all roots of bitterness. Cut them off. When they rise up within, when they get to your throat, cut them off. Don't let any roots of bitterness spring up and grow and spread. Well, with the birds, you know some of the birds migrate. They know their time is here, and they migrate. And some of our believers, the Christians, are missionaries. They go to foreign lands to swing, to sing the sweet melodies of the song of redemption. Then some birds, as we read, hatch out their own young and stay by the stump. And how true that is with some of us. The Lord hasn't called us to go to foreign lands, but we forsake not the gathering of ourselves together. And we form a habitation for God through the Spirit, where spiritual sacrifices are offered up. Some of these birds, I didn't mention them all, they fight. Now, we have to be careful about this. We don't want to be the wrong kind of fighters, do we? The Bible speaks of some of we Christians biting and devouring one another. And we're to be so careful that we don't consume one another. So it's good to have the dove of peace. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Well, we could just go on with the birds. And I trust at the end of our little message, you'll not say you're for the birds. But the birds have taught me a lesson this morning. Let God by His Spirit work in our hearts the will to do of his own good pleasure as he has amongst the birds. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy great creation. Thou hast created the birds for the air, the wildlife for dry land, animals, and the fishes for the sea. Thou art teaching us many precious lessons through thy creation. We look up into thy face this morning and say, O God, how great thou art. We thank thee for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Some of these words that we were reading about were used in the offerings. And we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who made peace by the blood of His cross, shedding His precious blood, giving His life that we might have life. Dismiss us now with Thy blessing resting upon us. And may Thy love, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be the portion of each one of us, for we ask it in His worthy and precious name. Amen.